Now we know why Scott Drew wanted to say, to stay at Baylor. By the way, like as an athletic director, when you're trying to hire a coach and they're on the fence if they should stay at their current job or take your job, and they invoke, I'm doing what God told me to do. Like, you don't have a response as the athletic director that lost, right?
You're like, well, he's giving you bad advice.
You don't say...
I'd be like, if that were true, you'd be at Notre Dame.
You don't say, well, you know what? Our God in Lexington is the same as the one in Waco.
And he gave me a message saying that this is where you belong.
Scott Drew is the Bill Snyder of college basketball.
I don't think there's any debate.
He's the only guy that will ever turn down Louisville and Kentucky basically in the same week or 10 days to stay in Waco. Lots of oil money in Waco. Mm-hmm. What else is... You've been to Waco more recent than any of us. Anything else about Waco that we're forgetting about?
Nope, it pretty much covers all of it. We got the good stuff. Plenty of Whataburger, Taco Cabana. Get the hell out of there. You can get to Dallas an hour away, four with traffic.
They've got a Best Buy there. I had to get a computer charger there once.
Shout out HEB.
I believe they have an Old Chicago, too. They do have an Old Chicago. I'm positive of that. We ate there once. Yeah. All the fine amenities that you...
What are we down to? Two Old Chicagos now in Omaha?
Probably, yeah.
Off of Center and then the one over off of Maple?
There was a time that was the joint. That was the place. I still like Old Chicago.
Hashtag
beer tour. I think I single-handedly put the Old Chicago that was off of Cass out of business. Went there on a Sunday. NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
The Chiefs and the Titans were playing.
Yeah.
That was the game where, what's his name? Just escaped me. Former Nebraska defensive back was playing for Tennessee. Clearly offside. Chiefs messed up a field goal that could have won the game. But I got into a fight.
Whoa.
A verbal fight with the waitress.
Oh.
Because I asked politely, and they didn't have the ticket. I said, is there any way on that TV you can put the Chiefs game on?
Please.
And I don't know, it had golf or something on. It was not anything football related.
It was like motocross.
Which was a really surprise, you know, and they're in the month of September. Now at the bar, they had the TVs on, but we were not sitting at the bar.
Oh.
And the lady is like, well, we're not allowed to do that.
What? Sure you are.
And so I said,
just not allowed. I said,
is there any way you could ask? The game is, because I was watching on my phone and then I watched it on a TV. And I said, is there any way you can just like ask? Because I know it's on up there at the bar. And she says, no. And I was like, whoa.
Whoa.
So shortly thereafter, Old Chicago closed down. Then it became, a Mexican restaurant?
Yeah,
is it still a Mexican restaurant?
Yeah, we went there one time. It's pretty decent. I think Sarah Baker Hansen did a review on it, too.
The Old Chicago in the Haymarket, I was on the wall of foam.
Did you have your own mug?
Yes.
Nice.
It was a challenge.
You got to be committed to the tour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, multiple tours, right?
Yes. I went around the world.
Yeah.
But I was on the wall of foam at Old Chicago.
I miss my t-shirt.
I don't know where that was in college and shortly thereafter. I don't know where that mug is these days.
I've got nothing on you on that one because I did some mini tours.
Like
you know,
summer tours? Those were
nice. Yeah. You know, then they got the Oktoberfest tour. I never did the full-fledged tour where you could get on the wall of foam.
Was it Wednesday or Thursday night they had like... $2 pizzas and $2 beers. The upstairs level of that Old Chicago in the Haymarket was packed.
I can imagine.
Oh, man.
Oh, good times.
I don't think we had that great special here in Omaha. That's the only thing I'll say.
I knew a waitress there, we got the hookups.
I like their Chicago. It's not really Chicago style pizza, but their version of Chicago style pizza. It's just so expensive. It's like for a large pizza, it's like $30.
I mean, that's pretty much everywhere.
Pizza, pizza's expensive.
Unless you go to the right places. You go to Little Caesars.
People? Yeah.
That's not pizza.
You know, there's a reason why Little Caesars is next to a Mega Saver.
Come on, man.
And a dispensary.
It sounds like the gas station I was at in Lincoln last night. I believe all those things were right by the gas station.
That little plow show up there.
Omaha boys go to crime town.
I had to get out of there.
I'm sure the Convention Visitors Bureau is really happy, with us.
I was very confused because I was filling up in the gas lane next to me. There was a car there with its hood up and no sign of a person at all. Just sitting there next to the gas tank next to the gas pump, and its hood was up and there was no one to be seen.
Like, just start the car. You can
and
guess
then next
at home.
To it was a car that had plastic over its windshield. Not one window, but over its entire windshield taped up. A lot of things were happening there. I just said, let's just get enough to get home. And
what has happened to Lincoln?
I don't know. I wasn't that far from the ballpark either.
Used to be such a safe
haven. Well,
yeah, I know. It depends on where you go.
Yeah.
I don't think I went the right place. I just got off a little bit of the beaten path there.
There's parts of Cornhusker Highway, yep. That end of town, yep. Which can get a little sketchy.
There's mm-hmm. Rodeo and there's Rodeo Drive.
That was definitely Rodeo. It looks fine during the day, but at night?
There's a lot of things that look fine during the day.
At night, I was, oh gosh.
Then they turn the lights on, and you're like, well, okay. All right, so yesterday is Nebraska practice day. There was observations. Andy Kindy was there, so I'm sure he'll have something of that caught his eye. I think by the end of the season, not now, but by the end of the year, this fall, the tight ends will be one of the better position groups at Nebraska. Now, they're not that far off. I mean, it's like they got a bunch of unknowns. They got Thomas Fedoni mm-hmm. and Nate Borkature, who I think both those guys are NFL guys. I think both of those guys at some point in their career will be in a camp in the month of August. I think Nate Borkature got underutilized last year. But you had no quarterback that could just simply play pitch and catch, trying to use tight ends that are 5 to 7 yards downfield. But I think that will be with that combination of those two, and then some young guys in that room, which, you know, Ishmael Smith Flores, which he redshirted, mm-hmm. and so he hasn't a lot of experience. Of course, there's Carter Nelson when he arrives this summer.
Give him time.
Ingwersen, who played at Papillion La Vista, who I like on the other side of the ball, but he's going to start at tight end, and then Ian Flint, who is from Texas, who may develop into an offensive lineman, who knows, was in an offense where the tight ends weren't used very much, but Rule did not hesitate when they offered him a scholarship early in the process, and as the attention picked up in the state of Texas, Nebraska built the relationship, and they got him, and I'm very encouraged to see what he can do. Good inline blocker. He looks like a Big Ten tight end. I think that room... And I think that's Marcus Satterfield's wheelhouse is coaching tight ends. By the end of the year, I'm gonna put it on the prediction board. Yeah. That'll be one of the strongest position groups at Nebraska. And you could say, well, they only have like 6 scholarship guys. I mean, if you hit on 3, that's pretty good. No, they're going to be an important part because they're going to be a heck of a safety valve to a quarterback. And then I think they will be utilized a little bit more in a passing game that is not a safety valve, that is a dump off instead of, they run actual routes, and mm-hmm. they run down the seam, and you find a tight end that is 10 to 15 yards down the field.
Yeah. I like the prediction. I don't know if I'm ready to go all in there, but I'll tell you where I'm excited about is the two that you mentioned between Borkature and Fedoni, because for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about so much with having a quarterback that can just get the ball there on time on a normal trajectory – especially with what Thomas Fedoni can do. I know I talked about this just the other day. There were many times where Thomas Fedoni, I think, did everything he was supposed to do, ran the right route, beat his man, was in a position to where he can catch a turn up field and utilize that athletic ability he had. But then all of a sudden he's having to stop his momentum, reach back, try to make a catch, defenders are around him. And so you get a minimalist opportunity there as opposed to maximizing what that route was supposed to give you. So those are the basic things about having a good quarterback. And this is the interesting thing about...
Oh, I don't even need a good quarterback. I just need a competent quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think people realize that Nebraska's probably going to win a couple of games this year just because they have competent quarterback mm-hmm. play. They don't have to be dazzling. Yeah, we'd all love that.
Yeah.
Just play pitch and catch,
won't,
man.
Won't that look dazzling, though? Just pitch and catch will look dazzling.
We've been scorned around here.
It really will. And then the other
I
part...
I don't think we'll have... You know, we won't be tweeting, oh, there's the Dylan Yolo.
Yeah.
Just competent quarterback play is going to make just a huge difference until that quarterback play jumps to the next level.
Dylan Yolo. And you bring up Borkature.
I think we retired that with Tommy.
Yeah. Yolo! Iowa game. You remember one of the... It's still agonizing because... And I'm not about to just revisit the season and all the missed opportunities, but... Right before halftime of the Minnesota game. How big that could have been if Nebraska wins that game. Nate Borkature, wide open, being missed. That's the other thing, is being able to find these guys.
He was so underutilized this past year.
And
wasn't his fault. It wasn't always Satterfield's fault.
He's never found him.
It was, I just simply can't throw to a big target 7 yards in front of me, even when they're open or they're open for a split second, I gotta get the ball out.
Yes. That's the other part about the competent quarterback play is not just getting the ball there on time, but seeing these guys, being able to find them. And I immediately think of the weapon that you have between the two with Thomas Fedoni's overall athleticism in the red zone, but also Nate Borkature and his size in the red zone. And you bring up a guy like Ian Flint. There's a dude that's 6'4", 255. You know, so you're talking about size. That's the other thing when I think of tight end play in the past decade at Nebraska and having a true red zone presence. You know, it was supposed to be this guy or the next guy. And, you know, Austin Allen gave you a little bit of that. But I don't even think that was a true red zone presence as much as I thought it would be when you had the big body guys. Even a Vokolek. It just always felt like there was a lot of steam going into the season, and then you would see him in spots, but when you'd get down the red zone and Nebraska would struggle in the red zone, that those guys were nowhere to be found. So that's another element of the evolution of the tight ends in this offense with a competent quarterback between the vision and the throws that I'm hoping is very much present. I'd love to see big plays out of him, and I think you have options to do that. But just having that red zone presence with these guys too, it would be huge, a huge step forward for this offense.
There's the other part of, if you have a quarterback that can make all the throws, it just changes the complexity of your offense because then you can scheme guys. Mm-hmm. Like Nebraska for the last few years, if you sit up high at games, it's not like Nebraska hasn't had wide receivers open. Matt Lubick, there were a lot of times you would see play design and he would have wide receivers open. Last year, there were times where there were wide receivers wide open. And if you don't have a quarterback that can complete the throws at all the different levels, then what are you doing? I think in this case, Nebraska will have a quarterback where they can make those throws, whether it be a back shoulder 30-yard pass down the seam or just a simple out to the running back or a out cut to the boundary to a tight end. If you have a quarterback that can make those throws at the different levels, you can start to scheme wide receivers mm-hmm. even more and make it a chess match, which you can say, okay, they've got to worry about 4 or 5 different guys. I think that's where the tight end will come into a big play this year because you have two gigantic targets in Fedoni and Borkature. And if you have a quarterback that can complete the pass to him, if you're scheming them to get them open, they complete the pass, man, you're cooking with some peanut oil. There's more to, as I listen to how the passing game is starting to evolve and who's involved, we'll get into this a little bit later that reiterates something that Nebraska must desperately do on offense this year. But here is a positive Phil. Hi, Phil.
On a Wednesday.
Yeah, guys, I've been busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, so sorry that. Can I say that? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, don't worry, you're not
Rodney Danger, Phil.
As long as you
once.
Don't, if you, you just don't add hole to it, you're good.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I have a resolution to the tight end problem. Just bring back Gerald Armstrong. I mean, every time he caught the ball,
yeah. Option pass.
Give some.
At one time, he had like 6 receptions, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that is very, very good.
Oh, come on, wait.
That's a good pull there on Gerald Armstrong.
William Washington.
Yeah.
Eric Alford.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Alford.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yep. There was a stretch where
and William Washington was looking sweet with the goggles. Man,
Gilman,
the cream goggles.
Yeah, you'd have a stretch where you'd have career totals of 12 catches and 11 would be for touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was a split end in an option offense and.
Really?
1 year I had 11 catches, 7 were touchdowns, and I averaged 33 yards a catch. And half the time I caught the ball, all I had to do was catch the ball. Because the play fake just, you know, we were in high school. The safeties were up on the line immediately. So,
Phil, I don't know if I should applaud you or worry about you if you remember your high school stats.
Well, I mean, when you only have 11 catches, you're going to remember those bad boys. You know what I mean? But, yeah, there probably is something wrong with
that. How was the quarterback there in high school throwing to you? What did he go on to do?
He actually works as an insurance agent for his father.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yes. He was a better basketball player, actually.
Okay.
I lived in DFW for 4 years, And we used to go to this Mexican restaurant. I lived in Bedford. I don't know if you guys know the DFW area. So I lived in Bedford, but I worked in Arlington right by the stadium. And there was this Mexican restaurant not far. We'd walk to it called Mercado Juarez. And I mean, if the name of your restaurant would be a cool band name, you got something going on.
It's true.
Red Robin.
We would go
Griff's Hamburger.
One night only.
Red Robin, yeah. or a female pro wrestler. So we would walk over there, you know, once every couple weeks and eat at Mercado Juarez, and it was always busy. And we walked over there one day, it was like all boarded up. We're like, what's going on? This place is always hopping. Well, we found out that the owner of Mercado Juarez was the creator of Holy Guacamole.
Oh.
And he had made so much money off Holy Guacamole, one day he's like, I don't need to be running these restaurants. So yeah. I'm just going to close them up. So, and then I did Dr. Pepper, was it obtained later in life by Coke? Because remember back in the day, if a place had Pepsi, a lot of times it had Dr. Pepper.
I thought it had.
That's how Texas Stadium was.
Was Mr. Pibb under the Coke umbrella?
Yes, because when we were at Coke school, yeah. We had Mr. Pibb.
Yeah, so that was Dr. Pepper's rival.
But
you know what? I don't mind Pibb.
I thought Mr. Pibb actually, in some ways, is better.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And sometimes, you know, you can get shamed for that, but mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and admit that I can do Pibb. And then did you know that, you probably know this, but Pepsi, when it came out, they couldn't get any restaurant to take them. They couldn't get into any restaurant. So they actually bought Pizza Hut and KFC.
Yes.
Pepsi did, just so they could have restaurants with Pepsi in them.
That actually is mind-blowing, because those pictures of Pepsi were immaculate.
Mm. Yeah, that is a very true statement. So, anyways, I just wanted to call and say hello to you gentlemen. Hey, miss your voices.
Thank you, Phil.
We missed you, Phil.
That was a good call. Have a good rest of the week.
Yeah, you guys do the same.
Coke paid Dr. Pepper $715 million in 2010 to sell drinks.
Oh. So Mr. Pibb is no longer under their flag, or are they? Did they just take them both?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I've never had Mr. Pibb.
It's good.
Not even when it was a Coke school in Nebraska.
I will stop by QT after the show, and you know how they have them, like one side is mm-hmm. all the Coke products, the other is Pepsi. I will get back to you.
Okay.
On that one.
There. Quick trip doing the Lord's work for us.
As long as you don't mind Dr. Pepper, because I know sometimes for people, that can be an acquired taste. Mr. Pibb, I think there was probably a good portion of my pop drinking life that I liked Mr. Pibb more than Dr. Pepper. Just saying. And Phil's right. You can get shamed for that. How dare you?
Hey, Dr. Pepper, Diet Dr. Pepper I like, and then Dr. Pepper, Cherry Dr. Pepper Zero.
I've heard good things.
Ooh, I've not had that.
Yeah.
I might be stopping somewhere on the way home. Yes. All right. Day's turned around.
I was told the other day to stop promoting drinking of soda on the show.
Who told you that? Somebody here?
A listener.
Oh, okay. Thought it was somebody upstairs.
Start telling listeners to pop pills instead.
Hey. I mean, there are, you know, I went through a stretch where it was okay to have 6 Diet Cokes a day, and you're like, because it doesn't have any calories.
Yeah.
And then you find
it's
out.
Diet.
Find out, why am I not losing weight?
This is a little NutraSweet thing.
All right. 7:58. Andy Kennedy, Brandon Vogel going to join the show today with all of you. Plus more on the Nebraska passing game. Dylan Raiola, what is he doing right now?
Think he's having breakfast?
He might be
a Dr. Pepper. Class?
I don't know.
8 o'clock.
He's been known to be there at 6. But Garrett McGuire spoke yesterday. Garrett McGuire, by the way, looks younger.
He does.
Yeah. Wouldn't we all be so lucky?
He's just so polite. Just so polite.
Yeah, they probably got him in trouble last year.
He's got good manners.
This year, much different. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.